everybody, and welcome back to the Ramble Room, and welcome me back to the Ramble Room, because I'm back.
Oh, yes. Welcome.
Nice to have you, Sarah.
Now compliment me. We so missed you.
Everybody's here. Ken, Joe, Diane, me. Yeah, we're here, and we're ready. And today we are talking about a weird topic. You might think it's weird. I think it's weird, but we're going to talk about it anyway, because it's the Ramble Room. That's what we do. For those of you who have Netflix, or for those of you that don't, there is a TV show that was recently released on there called How to Become a Tyrant. And it's very satirical, just so you know. But it's kind of set up as a how-to documentary on how to become a tyrant. But it goes through this proverbial playbook that all of the tyrants and... What is that other word? I keep forgetting that
word.
Dictators. All of the tyrants and dictators seem to all play by the same playbook. So they're pointing out all of these things through there. And each episode is about a different, like a different step in the process of becoming a tyrant and then holding on to your power and then passing it on to the next generation. And they each focus on different famous dictators from the last 100 years or so. But first of all, I wanted to mention that the reception for this show has gotten very weird. And I don't mean like black and white fuzzy reception.
Somebody needs to tune in, turn the antenna.
I mean the way.
Yeah. Nobody.
When
knows
you say this show, you're talking about.
I'm talking about how to become a tyrant.
Not the Ramble. Okay.
Yes.
I was panicking for a minute.
Our show's fine. So if you look up any sort of reviews on the show, it was interesting to me that Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%. From the critics. The critics were like, it's very well done, it's interesting, whatever, because they seem to get it. But then the audience score is only like 70%. And then if you just start going down the Google results for how to be a tyrant reviews, some people just don't seem to get it. They think, I guess it's like supposed to be a satire, but like they're talking about it like it's a bad thing, but they're like telling you how to do it. I don't get it.
I wonder what percentage of Netflix viewers voted for Biden.
Well?
All but you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
No, not necessarily. I know a lot of people just got rid of Netflix completely after, what was that TV show that came out?
It was a movie.
Cuties?
When they hired on the Obamas, I was out of there.
Yeah. Well, and it's like I said earlier when we were just talking amongst ourselves. I was so verklempt because we were talking amongst ourselves like butter. What I was saying was the reason that we have Netflix is because we kind of feel like we need to be up on what's going on, no matter how painful it might be. So that's why we're even giving them money. So all of you that have boycotted Netflix and think that we're terrible people, keep it to yourself.
You're paying a price so we don't have to.
Yes.
I watch CNN almost every day.
That's a price I'm not going to pay.
Yes.
I wish I didn't pay that price, but...
Gouge your eyes out.
We'll
just
do the homework
as an aside
to
that, is it true that CNN has actually turned against Biden, do you think?
Oh,
I'm hearing that they have.
Well, slightly, but they're coming back. They're coming back to the...
They're circling back.
Team, team, they're doing... what's her name?
Saki?
Yeah, Saki. The redheaded weirdo.
Saki will mess with your brain, man.
More Saki, more baby.
Well, whenever your brother is Ronald McDonald. Life is hard. But they did at the very beginning. They were like, oh, Joe, you're a bad guy. You're a bad guy, Joe. I don't know what accent this is.
It sounds like you need to be working in a convenience store.
We're going to have to cut that out. Anyways, now they're coming back to Team Joe because they don't want to slip too far.
Yeah, what's the alternative?
You'd have to be a Nazi. To not be on Team Joe.
You'd have to be some sort of a tyrant.
Yeah.
Plus, we're all kind of getting over the Afghanistan thing because that was like 4 or 5 days ago.
Right.
It's almost a week now. Yeah. Well, it is a week.
Yeah, right. People falling off of planes is not seared into my brain anymore.
It was
4 or 5 days
ago. 4 or 5 days ago now.
We've replaced it with all of the rubbish on Netflix. So anyway, so the reason I wanted to go through this show, and I watched it one time all the way through. I binged 6 episodes of the show and then watched it back through and took some notes. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think it's really interesting that right now, a fairly popular show, no matter how misunderstood it might be, it is fairly popular, is talking about, here's what a dictatorship looks like. Do you notice anything? I think that's why so many people, it's just the satire is lost on them because they're like, yeah, that's really bad. I'm glad that's not happening now.
So, so last week.
Not since
4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah. Has anybody tried to like kill people?
And it could never happen again.
No. So we're going to go through each of the episodes and then talk about the tactics that they suggest in terms of how to be a tyrant. So episode 1 is called How to Seize Power. And this one focuses pretty much on Adolf Hitler. But each episode uses references to all of the other dictators as examples of here's what we mean by this. So tactic number 1 is believe in yourself.
Yeah. Well, you got to
because you have to believe that you are the answer to everybody's problems. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how it takes a fairly narcissistic person. I thought that was so funny when Trump...
Fairly narcissistic.
Right.
Hitler was full-blown narcissistic.
But everybody, when Trump got elected, they were like, oh my gosh, he's such a narcissist. Yeah, so is everybody else who's ever run... for office, because you kind of have to be a narcissist to think that you can fix anything all by yourself.
Joe Biden's so narcissistic that his own son can molest kids and
That was a really good sound effect. I can't do that. So you got to believe in yourself. Also,
just lost 3 more platforms.
Outrage sells. Everybody's got to be upset about something. And then you need to be a man of the people. You need to brand your movement. This part, they were specifically talking about the swastika. Because there is no symbol on the planet that is as powerful and potent as the swastika. So
I can see Joe Biden in the bathroom right now trying to brand his movement.
Okay. Speaking of which, you need to build your squad and you need to choose when to strike. So
squad?
This. Yes, your squad of helpers.
They
your
use that word squad.
Yes.
I haven't heard that word mentioned in years.
Well, they were stepping back in history, so why not borrow some rhetoric from
today?
Ages gone by. So this is obviously very much about individual dictators, but I think it's interesting to draw the comparison between here are moments in history where there was one person rising above the rest to take control. We don't necessarily see that in the U.S., because if anybody thinks that Joe Biden himself is the problem, they're very confused. We seem to have an entire herd of people, an entire squad of people, if you will, that are trying to assume control.
But not the squad we're talking about. But yeah. I don't think they're bright enough.
I think they all have to believe in themselves. But when it, like outrage sells, there always is something to be outraged about.
Oh,
the German people were starving and sinking in inflation and desperate. So it's not just that outrage sells, but you... sorry, what's the quote about never let a crisis go to waste? I think that's almost a better way to put that, because there's always a crisis.
Right.
There's always something to be outraged about, so let's twist that to our uses.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how many things that we're outraged about now really are relatively insignificant.
Yeah, it's almost trivial.
Yeah, compared to the things that we ought to be outraged about, and most people are oblivious.
So episode 2 is called Crush Your Rivals. This one is focusing on a gentleman that this family kindly refers to as so damn insane. From Iraq. His tactics were to establish dominance, be everywhere, buy loyalty, master mind games. I have to say that really carefully because it looks like mastermind games.
Right. I want to mastermind
games.
So for
the next one, the rules are... master mind games, as in, playing mind games on people.
Manipulation.
And everyone is expendable. So, you know that squad that you built? Any one of them could be replaced with somebody
this
else.
This is more narcissism, just as an aside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Saddam took that to a whole new level. He started executing his family.
Yeah.
If you'd have known them, you would have too.
Well, yeah.
You can't always blame these people for what they've become.
Episode 3 is called Reign Through Terror, and it focuses on Idi Amin, who was a dictator from Uganda. For those of you who don't know, he's not quite as well known as, say, Hitler.
We used to play Risk when I was in high school.
Yeah.
My adopted ex-stepbrother and I, and we nicknamed Charlie Idi Amin because of the way he played Risk.
I have a feeling that he and I would have a lot of fun with that game.
He's a good player.
So Idi Amin's tactics were to conceal your brutality. This one, on my notes, I put a little star next to and put the Clintons. I don't know if I need to say any more about that or if I can.
How well they conceal it.
Do we need to read off the list?
We don't have time. This is a short show.
And I'm not exactly sure how that's different from the others because, I mean, Hitler started off pretending not to be brutal. Saddam Hussein.
Right.
You know, I guess it would be... Sorry. But... The brutality wasn't, they don't usually start out, I don't think, by just let's put this on national television or worldwide television, I'm beheading people.
Right.
They pretend to be something they're not.
Hitler was very subtle until he wasn't anymore.
Right, yeah, when he didn't have to be.
Right, and I think what this is each episode, you know, they throw in some names, but this is all the same playbook.
Okay. Right.
Okay. They're all using these tactics.
Right, this one's called Reign of Terror, and they all get to that point. Okay.
Right. Right. So each of these people, it focuses on these people, but like I said, it uses all of the dictators as examples of each of these concepts because they all seem to be using the same book.
Okay.
So yes, once you go full-blown brutality-ness-ish, whatever, yeah, you kind of have to cover it up for a while until, like you said, you don't have to anymore. Right. And then everybody knows what you're doing and they can't stop you. The second one on this episode was Choose a Scapegoat.
And that was well before Trump even became popular. He's not the first scapegoat for everything.
No.
So
it,
who is?
It can be Jews. It can be Christians. It can be conservatives. It can be gun owners.
Conservative Christians are now on, or is something to look for on a terrorist watch list.
Especially if you have a little bit of question about what's the vaccine is doing to us.
Right.
And the effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. What was the clip that you played for me the other day that was something about we don't need to be worried about terrorists overseas anymore because we have enough right here on Capitol Hill?
Oh, that was Colbert.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert for his nightly show. Yeah.
He's like, why would we send soldiers over to the Middle East and have them fight and die for... this country when we have terrorists right here at home, and then they flash a picture of the
January 6th.
Yeah, he's not saying Capitol Hill like the people that work there.
Right, right. Darn it.
He's saying Capitol Hill like the people who stormed
that
building.
I don't know about you, but just back to January 6th for a second. I watched it as it was happening. I watched a lot of videos of that. And what I saw were a lot of people calmly walking through the halls with their hands up, just pressing forward.
Yeah, that's
they weren't armed.
That's homegrown terrorism.
There were some bad apples in that group.
Sure.
And you're going to find that in every group that you find.
Even
but
in
the point
Rambo
is
room.
Not what they were doing. The point is that AOC was cowering in a corner and she literally almost died.
She feared
and
that someone
that's what
was
makes
going
it
to
terrorism.
Rape her.
What really makes it terrorism is that AOC borrowed her intern's shoes.
Yeah.
So that she could run away.
I don't have to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun you.
But she did that because she was terrified. And if you are terrified of someone, they are a terrorist. Yes.
I'm an elected official. You have to give me your shoes.
I'm important.
And you can keep those when you're done with them.
I'll get a new pair.
The next tactic was to weaponize the law. And the little note that I put in my notes was maybe not the law itself, but mandates. Weaponizing mandates against people.
Or just regulations.
We can't really make you do this, but if we put these in place and you don't follow them, you're putting a target on your back.
We can't pass gun control through legislation, so we're going to hand it over to the BATFE and say you just regulate it out of existence.
BATFE. BATFE?
Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Ooh.
I know. It sounds like a list of the 10 best things around. No,
me like
Thank you. God it's Friday night.
And we keep adding letters to that one, too.
Yeah. Well, not as quickly as the LGBTQRFDY
True.
People.
Boop. It's a race to see.
So far, folks, we've been in this for about 20 minutes, and we've been booted off of 7 platforms.
That's fine. We'll be back. Okay, episode 4 is when it gets really good, and it's called Control the Truth. This one focuses mainly on Joseph Stalin from the USSR. So this is going to take a little more time because we have a few more current events to draw from. Tactic number 1 is rewrite history. Somehow I'm picturing people knocking down statues and putting out new editions of history books in the schools, or
bad,
just burning
evil
some of them.
Person Columbus and Thomas Jefferson
and Dr. Seuss.
I'm not a huge fan of Christopher Columbus. Just so.
I am.
But it doesn't really matter. You know that he existed and that he is significant to our history.
What he did in history was important.
Yes.
He was not a good human being.
You don't have to wish he was your father.
Right. But to know the information about, you know, what he did and
That's a series for another show. That'd be fun to parse Christopher Columbus.
We should have a courtroom.
But yes, the
where we put each one of these famous people on trial.
In another
Mr. show. Columbus, is it true that on 1492.
That's the Nina.
You are sailing on the ocean blue.
That's actually already been done. But
not with the voice, though.
it was very similar. Anyway.
Maybe it's in my subconscious.
Yeah, so history is being rewritten now. So this is a very current event. All kinds of things are being rewritten, and enemies are being... People that were important are now enemies to our country.
But the reason it can be done now is because it's been being done. It's not really a...
Right, we've
allowed
it.
We just now started doing this. It's been being done for over 100 years so that we're dumb enough to fall for it now.
Right.
I think it goes back farther than 100 years.
Yes, it does. But.
The next one was censor everything.
Oh!
Ask any comedian trying to earn a living
Facebook
about censorship and
cancel
culture.
Are you out there? Are you listening? This one's on you, bud.
But it's not censor everything, because something came up the other day. That scam where they were trying to sell something like, ooh, we should buy one of those. And
I think that's funny how they have such a lockdown on my account, but then there's a scam on Facebook that just keeps going on and on and on, and nobody knocks these people off. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's still on my Facebook. That ad still comes up, and it's like, that is not real.
So don't censor everything.
Just the things that are...
Just the things that don't fit your
relevant
narrative.
To your cause.
Yes. Right.
Seduce outsiders.
Well, I do that every day.
I'm going to say, there's a whole long list of people in Hollywood. And
those are the insiders.
Well, they are now, because they've been seduced.
They are the insiders, but they are seducing the populace.
And so, they're seducing people overseas to buy into the left's culture.
Okay,
this is what the United States used to stand for, but now they're doing this. And
because I was going to... Do you have an example of what they're specifically referencing here?
Well, they brought up the quote about useful idiots in terms of anybody that will buy into your propaganda.
Indeed.
Don't let that
like
go
the communists in the U.S. who were actually on their side,
or like they didn't use this example, but people who live in, let's say, European countries who are practicing some form of socialism, who are over there going, yeah, it works really well, you should try it, yeah. And then we go, oh, see, it works over there, we should try it, yeah. That wasn't the most eloquent explanation, but I hear that a lot, that people are referring to European countries, and then the people in those European countries are going on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and going, yeah, it's everything's great here.
But they don't explain to you anywhere that socialism is actually functioning. And well, and I'm not going to say actually functioning, but because a lot of those countries, I think it's, is it Sweden?
Sweden. Yeah, it's not socialist.
Yeah, they will tell you we are not socialist, but that's one of their favorite places to go. To is, oh, Sweden. Sweden is this. Well, Sweden's very small.
I'll buy you a ticket to Sweden, sister.
Sweden isn't a big place. Communism works for these hippies out in the woods.
For a while.
There's people that
live It didn't in, work for the pilgrims.
People that are living in the redwoods right now, and I've been to their little colony thing, they're doing fine. There's 50 people out there. Everybody contributes. Everybody eats. Okay, that works for 50 people. It's not going to work for, you know, how many people in the U.S.? That's just not, it's impractical.
Untenable.
Now, it's just not going to happen.
But recruiting useful idiots outside of the establishment to help feed the narrative is a pretty good tactic.
Because it contributes to your good press all around the world.
Yes. The next two, I'm going to say them together because they just go hand in hand. Destroy God. Not just destroy him, but replace him. And corrupt science. Maybe I should have taken those one at a time. Let's unpack this. That's the term that we're doing. We just need to take a minute and unpack this.
What? Those two. The first words that popped in my head whenever you said that were cell phones and genitalia. I'm sorry, but that was the first two words that came into my mind.
Because to use cell phones to distract people from God and to create confusion over genitalia.
God to a lot of people. That's true. These cell phones and even TV is God to a lot of people. And especially, you know, the avid CNN watchers that actually are watching it to praise Don Lemon or whatever his name is. That's their new God. And then science, I don't even know what science is anymore.
That's right.
You just
don't
have to follow it.
Yeah.
Because you refuse to follow it, so you'll never know.
Who's Greta Thunberg, or however you say her name?
How dare you?
Yeah. Who's her God? Her dad.
Herself.
Because her dad is the one.
Her agent.
Telling her everything to do. But the God becomes some deluded idea of what the planet could be or should be. Nowhere based on any sort of reality, nowhere based on any objective science. But if you can corrupt the science, now you can destroy God and replace him. You can rewrite history. You can censor everything. This sounds like a pattern.
Well, and the first part of destroying God is not just replacing it. First, you have to undermine the entire concept that there is an absolute truth, or that there is something bigger outside of us, or outside of you as the dictator. So if you're Hitler or Saddam Hussein or whatever, you don't want people worshiping some god, because then you can't take your place as their god.
Unless you are the god. They won't listen to you.
Or you're the mouthpiece for the god, because I think that Allah, a lot of times, the ones who are Muslim are speaking for him or interpreting him for their people, aren't they? Because they're going doing things in the name of religion, so they must be, they're using a god, whether it is
our next one is Korea. Uh-huh. And you have the Kim family,
who are gods.
Jong-un and Jong-il.
To the people, they are gods.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, well, we skipped Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah. We've skipped a lot.
Ooh, Muammar.
Yeah. So wait. The last one for Joseph Stalin was to eliminate trust. And this is just the concept of make sure that people don't trust each other. You have that scapegoat, and you have here's the information coming from the government, and then there's these other people who have other information. We get rid of those, and
your
now we don't trust people that are white. We don't trust people that are conservative. We don't trust people that are brown. We don't trust people that are.
You know, the first example of that that I ever saw was God Himself at Babel. He confounded the language. The people no longer understood each other. They didn't trust each other, and they split up and scattered.
Yeah.
God must be a tyrant.
Well, at least God let them split up and scatter. The goal here is to have us at each other's throats.
Yeah, we don't want to parcel people off into, okay, if you believe this, just go over there. We need to be a melting pot that is also on fire.
Well, and I'll go back to the new terrorist watch list. You know, white conservative people that might
Christians,
and so that's we are enemy number one suddenly of our government, and I think that has a lot to do with we are the biggest threat to a government takeover.
Yeah,
we are the biggest threat, the only threat to what they are trying to accomplish. So from their perspective, you can see why we would be a threat. And they to us.
Episode number 5 is called Create a New Society. And this one features Muammar Gaddafi, who was the dictator of Libya, just so you know. Which wasn't that long ago, so hopefully y'all know.
Oh, that couldn't happen again. I don't know why you keep bringing this up.
It keeps happening again.
It's only 4 or 5 years ago. No.
Well, it was 10 years ago. It was 2011 when he finally... Well, I think he was in power for something like 40 years.
Yeah, he...
I can't remember.
He was
exactly
in power for a long time.
But he went down in 2011.
But what was he in power of?
Libya.
Yeah,
we and said that. Fashion.
Oh, yeah. He did.
He was a swanky dude.
Yeah,
he was a fashion
He was
god.
The Elton John of dictatorship.
So... We'll circle back to that in a minute. But the tactics listed in this one were be the law.
Oh, because the title is Create a New Society.
Yes, Create a New Society. Sorry. Be the law.
I am the law.
Build your legacy. So this is really interesting because they pointed back clear to like the Egyptian pharaohs and stuff that were building things, building shrines to themselves. Don't forget, everybody. I did this. I'm so amazing. Indoctrinate the youth.
As opposed to educate.
Oh, they couldn't possibly be indoctrinating the youth now.
No. No, they're re-educating them because we've indoctrinated them to believe that anybody that's not white is bad and the government is out to get you. We've been brainwashing our children for generations,
you
so they have to come in and fix
the government.
Them.
It's these people over here, your fellow Americans, that are just awful.
That's what the Taliban said. Yeah, now that we've taken over, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can trust us. By the way, give us your guns.
Yeah. And today I saw footage that destroyed me. It was a bunch of young girls behind a gate, and they're reaching out saying, please, please help us. Don't leave us here. Don't leave us here. And the reason why that they are doing that is because sex slavery over there is an issue.
Mandatory.
It's interesting that you say that because the next tactic in this episode is put women in their place.
Right.
And Muammar Gaddafi apparently had this. Every time I say his name, I have to go, did I say that right? Muammar. Then I have to channel my inner Christian Amanpour. Muammar Gaddafi.
It is Gaddafi. Isn't
yes.
It? Yeah.
Gaddafi.
Daffy.
So anyway, he apparently had this squad, if you will, of women that were supposed to be like his bodyguards, but really it was a harem in disguise. So he was assaulting these women and abusing them and everything else. But I guess they traveled overseas with him. He would go to these other countries to meet with other world leaders and he would take them with him. And it was supposed to look like, oh, look, women are being liberated and they're so powerful. But really they were sex slaves. So that's what this part is talking about, is putting women in their place, where, yes, it looks like everything's fine for them, but really they're being tortured and abused and, you know,
pretty much sold.
Things. Yeah.
Women, American women that live in America have it better than anywhere else in the world. And some of the loudest voices I've heard against the American way have been women.
Those women that have been allowed to read and write and vote and drive cars and wear whatever they want.
We should have put them in their place when we had a chance.
And who can own property and get a divorce and, quit whining.
American women have it better than anybody in the world. Or better than any other women in the world. But they don't see it that way. You can't convince them of that. But, you know, they need to... Maybe you should go over to the Middle East for a little bit. Spend a little time over there. Go to Mexico. The difference between American women and women in Mexico is night and day difference. It's not... You don't have to travel very far to find what I'm talking about.
It's so interesting, though, what's happening with the feminist movement in the U.S. right now, because the LGBTQ... whatever the letters are, have actually gone so far that they're stepping over the bounds of women's rights.
Right. Well,
here we have women's sports, but now even though I'm a biological male, I identify as a woman, and so I'm going to come in and destroy you.
You know, but you know which women they're stepping over, and that's Christian conservative women. I mean, there's not a lot of liberal women that are speaking out against this because they don't really care.
It's happening more and more, though.
It is. But liberal women were all for it for a second. And then you see, you know, women getting their jaw broke in the MMA fights. And it's like, okay, maybe that guy was a little too much woman.
He was a whole lot of woman. The next one is export your revolution. So you can't just stay at home in your own little area. You have to spread the word. You have to...
And you not only look for acceptance, but you want people to celebrate.
Yes. So this is the interesting thing that we were talking about Muammar Gaddafi with. Golly, my sentence structure today is on point. We were talking about that guy, whose name I struggle with, and the fact that he was probably the softest one on this list. He was doing all kinds of things, but where he went wrong was that he started trying to make friends with other world leaders and like, hey guys, I'm part of the gang. And that's really what ended up tearing him apart. He got soft on his own people trying to appease other world leaders. And then they ripped him apart.
He was like, can I play with you guys? And then, it didn't work out too well for him.
No.
I looking at MoMA's plan, his plan was one of the greatest, but he didn't keep that tight collar on his own.
Right.
First started talking about him, I said, I asked, he was a tyrant where? He should have picked a better place.
Yeah.
He might have lasted a little longer. Yeah.
You kind of work with what you got and bloom where you planted.
But he did believe in himself. So.
Last item on there, stick to your guns.
Yes.
Even if you stole them from
abandoned
U.S. forces.
Those weren't stolen.
Yeah, I know. I just found it laying on the road.
We left them on their property.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yes, the last item on the list is stick to your guns, and that doesn't just mean stick to the plan or stay true to yourself. It means you need to be the one with the guns. And the only one with the guns.
Right, you can't have an armed populace.
No. But I do think it's kind of funny that our dictatorship in the U.S., our oppressors, golly, it sounds so victim-y, and I don't like that. But anyway, the powers that be left a whole bunch of our guns somewhere else.
And they want to take yours away.
Or was it part of the plan?
Yes.
Well, you decide.
It's funny that they give these people who actually killed a lot of American people.
Oh, no. Our president stood up just the other day and said, at least nobody's dying, and then knocked on wood. Meanwhile.
Oh, for pity's sake. That guy.
Maybe we'd be safer talking about North Korea.
Let's go to Kim Jong-un. Okay.
Episode 6 is called Rule Forever. And I put Kim Jong-il. Oh, my goodness. Somebody give me a cookie.
You haven't
put him
yet.
On there, but really, he's number 3 in a succession of dictators.
Kind of reminds me of the Clintons and the Bushes.
We'll get to that in just one moment. So they had a fairly different tactic. Like, Hitler kept trying to expand, and Muammar Gaddafi kept trying to make friends with other people. The Kim dynasty very much stuck to their own stuff. The first tactic on that episode is called Isolate Your Kingdom. You cannot get in and out of there without permission. You cannot listen to or watch anything from outside of there. They have it locked down. I wonder how their COVID numbers are.
I think Asia has historically been like that. Like, where China was very much isolated when Marco Polo went in, you know, and started working for the Khans and stuff like that, is that they just were, we're different from the rest of the world. You guys stay out, we'll stay in.
It's like that in China because they have a wall. Anyway.
That's pretty good.
Their second tactic is keep it in the family. What better way to have loyalty than to breed your own minions?
And convince everyone that that's the way it has always been, so that's right.
That sounds right. Like Hollywood.
Minions?
Just keeping it in the family.
Mm, yeah.
All the inbreeding that goes in Hollywood.
Oh, golly. Okay, so go back to your point about the Clintons and the Bushes, because when I was watching this episode, I thought, well, this one isn't quite as applicable because this is very much a dynasty. This is a family succession of rulers. That's more like something that we would see in medieval history. And then you made your point.
You have an elite group of families who are, for lack of a better term, the in crowd. They pass the ball back and forth between what are presumed to be conservative and liberals. And where have we gone as a nation in the last 100 years? Left, 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 left. But all of these people, you watch many videos of the Clintons, you watch videos of the Bush family, and they're all fine and content with each other. And then along comes Trump. And
the
everything
yellow-headed
changes.
Stepchild.
Yeah, and I would throw Cheney's into that as well. You've got these elite power, and it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, the Democrats get to be the Globetrotters, the Republicans get to be the whatever the Stooges.
Harlem
home team.
Yeah, well, I forget what they were called. Anyway, that your job is to lose gracefully and peacefully and be nice.
Well, we look really good.
Yeah. Well, this last round, the puppet masters have put Biden up there, and how do they look? I mean, they're making Jimmy Carter look good.
Oh, yeah. He's the one of the smartest men in the world.
Even his hairdresser couldn't do that. The other interesting point that I was thinking of once I wrapped all of this up again for the second time is that we watch this series. Well, I'm the only one in this room that watched it, but we in this room would watch this series and think, oh yeah, it's the establishment. It's the elite. It's those people. But I think it's important to note that there's another side of this where there are other people probably watching this show going, yeah, that's the white man. He's been doing all of these steps all of this time, and it's time to put him in his place and get rid of him.
Or the church.
Well, which church?
Well, but what people think of when you say the church.
Yeah, you go right back and look at the list. Thinking about the church, establish dominance, be everywhere, buy loyalty, master mind games. Everyone's expendable.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me. I can go back and look at this list, and as we kind of alluded to, it's a master list. They all interplay. They all work together. And anyone who wants to gain power or position follows this plan. But what strikes me is if you compare the Founding Fathers and what they wrote in the Federalist Papers, how they thought, and you compare them against this list, they were as much the antithesis as any group has ever been, and yet the revisionists of history, which is also part of this plan, are trying to make them look like, as you pointed out, the tyrants themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's upside down.
What I would really hope that eventually the producers of the show would come out with a sequel called How to Get Rid of a Tyrant.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to, because I don't think that quite follows suit. I would say, just as like, if I had to make a list of tips as to how to not come under the spell of a dictator, and the picture that popped into my head was somebody posted a meme the other day, and it was like the Batman signal,
oh, yeah,
or whatever, but it was Trump's profile outline. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's funny, but at the same time, stop looking to one person,
yeah,
to save everybody. The thing that was different about the Founding Fathers and the thing that was different about America is that it was government for the people and by the people, all of us as a collective.
An educated, virtuous, yes, populace.
So, and that was going to be, my first point was going to be, stop looking for a savior, because
especially
if power
not
corrupts,
Trump.
Absolute, right?
I don't get me wrong. Trump did a lot of good things. Trump did some bad things that I don't, yes, agree
with.
He knows
George Washington.
All. But he's not God. He's not here to save you. God didn't.
The
God
second
put
greatest
him where
president
he was
ever.
For a reason. God put him where he was for a reason. But he is not God.
No.
And I don't know what the purpose of Trump was in God's plan. But he mixed some stuff up, and he did a lot of good things. He did some bad things that now we're having to deal with.
Because he's a man.
But a lot of people that I know that voted for Trump talk about Trump like he's God.
Right.
He is nobody. He is just Donald Trump.
And he did a pretty good job with the power that he had, but he still had more power than he ought, because
exactly,
we gave it to him. So,
before we go any farther, I look back at George Washington, and it's likely that since him, there's never been a person that didn't at least partly want to become president. George was drafted.
Right.
He didn't even want to be president.
No. That's my point. He didn't want to be president, and was as good or great as they ever come. And then you've generation after generation of people from the time that they're young desiring, who, there was a kid in Thermop, remember, and you asked him in high school, what do you want to be? I'm going to be president.
And when he gets elected,
yeah,
he has promised me that I'm going to be his Secretary of State. So look out, America.
Well, so maybe what we should do is change the Constitution where the nominees have been drawn by lot from the pool of Americans, actual Americans, who are, was it 30 and older? Just
33.
What do you mean by actual Americans?
Just put random folks in.
Yeah, everybody's
now it's
in.
Your turn.
Everyone's in the drawing.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I'd get it. and I'd be like, oh no.
But that would be perfect. We want somebody who doesn't want to, yes, be it.
So I would say tip number one is stop looking for a savior. Tip number two would be to know your history and know what's going on right now. Educate yourself, but not just on what's going on and what has happened, but how to think critically about that. A well-educated populace and a critically thinking populace is very difficult to control.
Armed populace.
Tip number three is stick to your guns. Do not relinquish that right at any cost.
But just a side note, if America falls to this radicalist behavior, that's it. There is no beacon of hope left out there?
Sweden.
How dare you?
But we have to be educated, and we also have to be virtuous.
And that comes. Be my last
okay,
tip.
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
Well, no, you can wrap it up if you want to. I was just going to say the final tip would be that if you're not looking to a person to be your God, you should probably look to the God to be your God, because that's what really gives you an eternal perspective and actual hope and actual virtue and morality and some kind of guiding principle other than your truth.
Right. And that's where what I was going to say is there, you don't have to belong to a certain church. You have to acknowledge that there is a truth. There is the truth, not your truth, because that's where morality comes from, is recognizing that there is truth and then being willing to act on it. Yeah.
And it's not on Facebook.
Right.
Sounds like an AA meeting.
What?